On Thursday, a senior government official said the federal government will run a $64 billion deficit in the next 2 years. Yesterday, government officials leaked more details from the upcoming federal budget. They said it would include a $1 billion fund for hard-hit industries ranging from forestry to agriculture to manufacturing. This is in marked contrast to the small surplus the Conservatives predicted for the next fiscal year in their economic update just 2 months ago. David MacDonald is coordinator of the Alternative Federal Budget. He's one of a group of economists with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives who have identified five key tests to determine if Tuesday's budget meets the needs of Canadians during the current economic crisis. And he joins me this morning from Ottawa. Hello, David.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. What do you make of the government's decision to leak portions of the budget over the past couple of days?
Well, I mean, it's too bad that, frankly, the Canadians don't have a better idea of what their stimulus package is going to look like. We're a ways behind other countries. We don't even, at this point, with a $34 billion deficit next year, we'd have a status quo deficit anyway of about $15 billion. So it sounds like the government surplus, or the government stimulus, rather, will be about $20 billion. Unfortunately, that's about half as much as what the IMF and the OECD are calling for in terms of a percentage of GDP. That's about 1% of GDP. And the IMF, OECD, UN are calling for 2% of GDP. So we failed the test on size. We're far behind what's happening in other countries. Not only have we not implemented a stimulus package, it looks like the government's only considering a 1% stimulus package. And at that level, Canadians are likely to see higher unemployment and needless hardship that they wouldn't need to have seen if we'd had a bigger stimulus package.
Do you think that the federal government is miscalculating the scope of the economic downturn or the recession?
The Canadian economy is tightly tied to the American economy, as we see day by day. The flurry of revisions after every update. Economic update in terms of the forecasters. The Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives was the first to suggest a deficit as early as the start of 2008. We were predicting about this size deficit in the economic and fiscal statement, which was in stark contrast to what the government put out. We think that this is going to be a much more difficult recession than when we've been predicting this all along. The problem is that because the government has been so slow to act in terms of starting to even discuss the idea of stimulus and what a stimulus package might contain, because that's also very important, we're wasting precious time that we could be using to spend stimulus dollars in the economy. The faster we can get those stimulus dollars in the economy, the more effect it's going to have in terms of job creation and leveling out the economic drop that we're likely to see in 2009.
You've identified five tests for the budget. You start with the employment insurance system. Why is EI so important?
Well, the last recession Canada experienced was in 1991. At that time, about 80% of unemployed Canadians were eligible for EI. In 1996, the government changed the rules, and today only 40% of unemployed Canadians are eligible for EI. So there's a big gap there. We've halved the rate of the number of people that are eligible for EI. Now, EI is an important program because what it does is it directs money specifically to those who need it most. So these are people who have lost their jobs, who have seen their incomes drop. And EI is an important program because it buffers them against further income drops. So what we need to do is reform EI such that it's easier to obtain benefits, the benefits are larger, and they last for longer. And it's an important plank because what it'll do is by putting money directly into the hands of those who've seen their income drop the most, we're most likely to see that money get recycled into the economy as opposed to going into savings and debt repayment, which is what you're much more likely to see in tax cuts.
So what is the segment of the population that lost their eligibility? What kind of people are those? Is it just depending on your income over the year? Or who lost the eligibility for those benefits?
What happened was the number of hours it takes to qualify increased significantly. So in 1991, with 200 or 300 hours worked, you could qualify. Today, the maximum is around 900 hours. So there's a vast difference between what was the case in 1991 and what's the case today. So what that the segment of the population that affects is workers who are not full time employed. Perhaps they're more seasonal employees, or perhaps they're between jobs in terms of switching jobs more often. And so it's that segment of the population that's been hardest hit by this change.
You also want to see action on homelessness and poverty. Is the government likely to act now on these issues when there's been so little action when there was more money around?
It's really hard to say at this point what the government's going to do. They've been leaking out over the past couple days bits and pieces of this plan, and we'll really only know on Monday. And as I said before, it's unfortunate, frankly, we don't have a better picture of what's going on. When we're focusing funding, particularly on Canadians with lower incomes, those that are hardest hit, this is a more effective way of using the tax system by doubling the GST tax credit, for instance, which is something we're advocating for. These are more effective means of spending stimulus dollars, and the reason is because it's focused on people who are going to spend it more quickly. So if you have a middle or higher income, if you're in the middle or higher income brackets, that money is much more likely to find its way into a mortgage repayment. Canadians are at historically high debt levels right now, or into savings because Canadians are concerned about the coming recession. Unfortunately, people at the lower income range simply don't have that kind of fiscal room. Every dollar that they get, they're much more likely to spend directly in the economy and spend on basic goods in such a way that's going to stimulate the economy. And so it's important from a social perspective to buffer those that are going to be hardest hit, lower income levels in terms of housing and supporting the provinces and their social assistance programs. So there's a social benefit there, but there's also an economic benefit in terms of the stimulus effect.
Now, the government's let it be known it's planning to support some of the hardest hit sectors of the economy. You want to see a green component included in that support. What would that look like?
The green component for us, a big portion of that, surrounds municipal infrastructure. So one of the infrastructure, whether it be physical, building roads and bridges and transit and so on, or social, in terms of rebuilding post-secondary education or healthcare, or so on, those are the real engines of stimulative growth. So, the spending on tax cuts is the worst possible way that you could spend stimulus dollars in terms of the number of jobs it creates, and spending on infrastructure, healthcare, programs like that are perhaps the best way. And so we're suggesting an ambitious infrastructure program, and a portion of that would be devoted to green municipal infrastructure. So we can use this as an opportunity. It's certainly a downturn, and a lot of Canadians are going to suffer, but we can also use it as an opportunity to invest in the economy of the future and better prepare our cities to be more energy efficient and to be less carbon reliant.
What kind of infrastructure spending do you think the government should be implementing?
Well, one of the challenges for infrastructure spending, or it has been a challenge historically, is what's called lag times. And so there's a gap between the day that you say we're going to build a new highway from from Vancouver to Whistler, say, and the time when the money actually hits the economy. And one of the things that we've suggested to combat that lag times problem is to focus the focus infrastructure funding almost exclusively on municipalities. Our argument there is that because the money would be spread much more broadly across the country, what you'd end up seeing is municipalities that already have programs on the books, they've already done the blueprints, they've already done the environmental assessment, and they're ready to break ground. It's just a matter of getting the funding for it. And so we've suggested that municipal infrastructure projects are the type that we should spend most of the stimulus dollars on, because they're most likely to get underway in the next 6 to 9 months, which is really what we need if we want to see the stimulus effect kick in at the same time as economic growth drops off and unemployment increases.
And what about social infrastructure? Should the government be spending there in these particular economic times?
Yeah, there's an interesting gender breakdown between physical infrastructure and social infrastructure. So building things is a much more male-dominated area, whereas the social infrastructure side, where we're talking about healthcare, education, is much more female-dominated. Both of them have a high multiplier in terms of their stimulus effect and have a high ability to create jobs per dollar spent. And so on the social infrastructure side, we're suggesting investments in social housing, as well as investments in post-secondary education, Aboriginal areas in terms of implementing the first year of the Kelowna Accords, and a variety of other social infrastructure programs.
Well, it's been good talking to you this morning, David. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
I've been speaking with David MacDonald. He's the coordinator of the Alternative Federal Budget for the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives.